Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Today, we have a history lesson. It's not the history of our city, our state, or our country, but the history of the human race. Anthropologist Jennifer Raff uncovered the untold mystery of how humans first migrated to the Americas. The book is called Origin, A Genetic History of the Americas. Cap Radio's Donna Appadoni talked with Jennifer Raff about her book that tells us where we came from. All right, Donna, this is deep history. Tell us about the book called Origin.
It's all about the first peoples of America. It's written by Dr. Jennifer Raff, who is a professor of anthropology and genetics. She explains how the first humans in North America got here, where they came from, how they traveled, how they lived along the way. It's science. It's not an imaginary story. It's hard science, but she managed to tell this story about early Americans in a way that is so compelling. This is the kind of book I just eat up. You suggested that I read it, Vicky, and I thank you so much because I always want to know how people lived, what their homes looked like, what they ate, how they traveled. And you know, can you find out what was important to people 10,000 years ago? That's the kind of stuff I want to know.
Yeah, that foundation is important. But there's so many theories out there about early humans. Why did Dr. Raff decide to write this book?
Because she really loves what she does, and she wanted to share all that excitement. She teaches this topic. She goes into the lab and studies it. She's done field work. She gets really excited by the history of humans, and I can totally see why.
One of the things I wanted to demonstrate in my book was that the real history, what really happened, is so much more interesting than, you know, silly stories about aliens or, you know, Atlanteans or whatever. The indigenous peoples of the Americas have an incredible, rich history, and it deserves to be understood. And I really want the general public or anybody who reads this book, who's not necessarily a specialist, to have the same feelings of excitement and interest and respect for these ancient traditions that continue on into the present day that I feel when I go into the lab every day.
Okay, so from my understanding, the earliest people on our continent came from Asia. They went north, they crossed the Bering Strait, and then moved south. Do we know why?
I wanted to know why. My favorite question is why. So I asked her, why did they leave where they were? Was there famine? Was there war? They were in a pretty comfortable climate. So why did they go all the way up to the Bering Strait? Why did they get so cold up there? She gently reminded me that they didn't just get up and move. This was a process that took 10,000 years.
Not the snap of a finger.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It took a while. It was very gradual. And because it was very gradual, there was not an isolated reason. She also said that from her perspective as an anthropologist, I had it all wrong. Why is not the right question.
I want to be careful about ascribing intentions or worldviews onto the ancestors of people who are not my ancestors, right? And so I'm always trying to be cautious about that, because certainly we see that we see a mixture of staying in one place, and we see a mixture of movement and migration all throughout human history and all throughout all kinds of human groups. But we always see some people moving, right? And that is how humans spread across the globe. And I think in the case of the Americas specifically, if we're talking about a coastal movement by boat up and down, you know, people living on just off of the coast and then traveling up and down the coast via boat, they would have been encountering resources that would have been pretty similar all the way along the coast. And this is something known as the kelp highway hypothesis. And it suggests that travel would have been facilitated because people were not being slowed down by needing to adapt to new environments and new resources. They knew what they could expect to find along this coast, right? There would have been marine resources, marine animals, plants, kelp, the relatively consistent climate all the way up and down the coast. And so it probably facilitated this rapid, rapid migration that we see both genetic and archaeological evidence for.
The kelp highway, it's just so visual of a name, you know, part earth-based, part sea-based. And she's talking about the people who really are native to our region.
Yeah, which makes it so exciting, because especially because the area we're in, from the coast into the valley, into the mountains, these are people who originally were all related. They were all in the same tribe, and gradually over thousands of years, they broke off into different tribes. But I love the idea that in any type of region, people freely travel in that region because they don't have to do a lot to adapt. So the coastal people have boating skills. They could have traveled anywhere up and down the coast to be comfortable with that. The same with people in the Sierra who had to know how to deal with cold weather. People in the valley had to deal with really hot weather. And now all these years later, even though the tribes were originally the same, now there are variations of tribes, mm-hmm. but the similar bloodline in all of the indigenous groups in our region.
Yeah, with different skill sets and traditions and, and cultures. You know, all the rage, I'm just thinking, in the last few years when it comes to like genealogy to find our heritage, can a person with indigenous roots find their tribe through DNA testing?
Well, it's complicated because the cultural connection is as important as DNA.
If you look at present-day indigenous peoples, they're genetically quite diverse with ancestries from populations all around the world. Some of their ancestry, greater proportions or lesser proportions, derive from the first peoples in the Americas. But what's really important to understand for non-native peoples is that if you are indigenous, your membership in a tribe or your affiliation with the community is not dependent on how much genetic ancestry you have from the first peoples. It has to do more with cultural belonging, with political associations, with cultural associations, with your connection to a people. A geneticist like myself has no business saying who is native and who is not native, who is a member of a tribe, who is not a member of a tribe. It's simply not a question that's within our purview. And this is why I caution people against thinking about using commercial ancestry tests as a way of identifying themselves as native or not. If you are indigenous and if you have a family tradition of that, that is a whole different question. I see all too often white folks like myself trying to identify as native through the use of these tests, and it's simply not appropriate.
Yeah, that's a very important distinction. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about ancestry tests. We all know people who have tried to trace their families through DNA testing. Aside from the question of indigenous ancestry, for people of any background, are we getting good information through these kind of tests?
I'm one of those people. I've taken the test. I've watched all the shows, you know, Henry Louis Gates, Finding Your Roots, and Who Do You Think You Are? I've done a fair amount of family tree work, and boy, it's amazing what I found. That's another story altogether. But I wanted to know that same thing from Dr. Raff. I especially wondered about the things we hear about on those shows, like the deep testing for Y chromosome and mitochondrial tracing. Here's what Dr. Raff told me.
When we want to really understand the deep past, we can use those markers, those lineages as a way to understand them. But they really only give us, as I say in the book, sort of parts of the puzzle. If you think about the past as a giant puzzle, they're giving you the edge pieces and maybe a few interior pieces, but it's not enough to see all the details of the picture. You might be able to guess what the picture is from those. And I want to say that histories reconstructed from mitochondrial and Y chromosome DNA are not inaccurate, but they're definitely incomplete. And so what you really need to get a real understanding, a comprehensive understanding of all of the complexity of human history is the nuclear genome, or the genome that's present in your chromosomes. That gives you those interior pieces of the puzzle. It gives you a history of many, many, many ancestors. And especially by combining these nuclear genomes from present-day living peoples with ancestral peoples, we can get a very detailed picture of populations moving, populations staying in the same place, the effects of natural selection on peoples in a particular region, in a particular environment, the deep history, the impact of gene flow from our archaic cousins, Neanderthals and Denisovans, the genetic bottlenecks that some populations may have gone through when they moved in environments or experienced periods of great hardship. All of these stories together of all of these many ancestors really give us a extraordinarily complicated picture, one which we're still trying to puzzle out.
Now, when it comes to DNA, this is pretty important. There's a movement of ethical anthropology. Rather than just look at DNA as a history lesson, scientists are trying to have conversations about who will benefit from the science. Because in this continent, probably in other parts of the world too, there's such a bad reputation for having information and then using it against indigenous groups. So anthropologists, being aware of that, are trying to figure out how to help tribes learn something about their history that will be useful moving forward.
Yeah, doing no harm and especially not exploiting.
Yeah.
So you said at the beginning of this book that you love this kind of book.
Yeah.
What did it tell you that you didn't know?
Oh, so much, so much. I'm not an expert. I just like reading about this stuff. I don't retain all of it. But I was fascinated by all of the kinds of tools and arrowheads that she wrote about and why they're different, different kinds of stone, different kinds of animals who are being killed with the arrowheads. Everything about the thickness of the arrowheads is all has to do with how they were made and how they were used. She goes on and on about that, and it's fascinating stuff. In our area, I love that she wrote about the people who lived near the coast who had such amazing watercraft building skills and people in our mountains and our valleys who really had to understand how to be one with the environment because it's a reminder of whose land this is, whose water this is, and the debt we owe to early mm-hmm. Americans. Also, Dr. Raff wrote a lot about how children were buried. She's a mother and she couldn't help but make comparisons. Did people then grieve over the loss of a child the same way they grieve now? She wrote about the mound builders in the Midwest and what they wanted to accomplish. A lot of people think those mounds in the Midwest are burial grounds. They're not.
Oh, really?
So she writes a lot about that, too. So there was a lot to take in. It was fascinating. And I'm so glad that you told me about this book, Vicki, because it was fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, it is just a lineage that what she describes as this complicated, complex puzzle, but one that is just so fascinating to just geek out on.
Absolutely. And I did. I totally geeked out on 10,000 years of movement from Asia to the Monterey area and the Tahoe region and the Central Valley.
Well, from present day, thank you, Donna.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
That is Cap Radio's Donna Appadoni sharing her conversation with anthropologist Jennifer Raff about her book, Origin, A Genetic History of the Americas. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minotta. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Chris Feltz. Joe Barr is Cap Radio's chief content officer. And I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.